We're in the middle of discussing the Arba Yesodos. The Maharal brings a medrash. That or light. Hashem created light. Hashem created light from the makam of the Beis HaMikdash. That's that the Beis HaMikdash is out of place. It's very much in the, it's very much current events. It's very shaykh. It's very, very shaykh. There's a machama now in the makam of HaMikdash. It's not a machama in the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Nobody's fighting over the Beis HaMikdash. There's a Muhammad and a Makam HaMikdash. The Yishmaelim were kaivish to Makam HaMikdash. And they're not letting go. And they're willing to kill themselves. The man, the Makam HaMikdash. And the Makam HaMikdash is a chashivus. I'm not saying that every single Ritzeach, terrorist, Arab, has these sidus in mind when he goes to embark on his maisa ritzicha consciously, not. But there's still Yishmael as a whole has a mesiras nefesh for the makom hamikdash. Does he know the medrash? The Rabbi Yisaitis? No, of course not. He doesn't know anything. But he knows one thing. If they have the Makom HaMikdash, then they matter in this world. Then Yishmael matters in this world. And if they don't have the Makom HaMikdash, they're irrelevant. They're just like anyone else. Their kiyum, their existence, is because they're shelled on the Makom HaMikdash. It's not just the Makom HaMikdash, it's all of Eretz Yisrael. But the heart of Eretz Yisrael is the Makom HaMikdash. If Chas V'Shalom, someone were able to surgically cut out the Makom HaMikdash from Eretz Yisrael, just remove it somehow or another. Kivyachol. If you'd be able to remove it, lasers or something, I don't know. Just cut out the Makom HaMikdash. Eretz Yisrael would die. There's no Eretz Yisrael without the Makom HaMikdash. So, you know, we're talking about the Makom HaMikdash. The Medrash says this is not a Zayir, this is not a Kabbalah Sefer. It's a Medrash Rabbah that Kadosh Baruch Hu created the light from the Makom Beis HaMikdash. So it's talking about pre-creation, so we really don't have any idea what this is, because it's talking about, you know, we came upon the scene on day 6. And light was day 1. So we can't formulate or envision anything about what this is. But we have the concept. The concept is that the only reason why there's any light in this world, and when we say light, we mean the ability to see clearly, we mean understanding, we mean piercing through the veil. When we say light, that's what we mean by light. When we say light, that means the ability to see through sheker, the ability to understand functions and purpose, our own purpose, our own function, you know, what's the right path, what are we created for. That's light. Light, you know, could you imagine the simcha that you would have if someone would tell you, a Navi would come and tell you exactly what your skill set is, exactly what you're good at, and where you're supposed to be. You'd light up. You know, the understanding, it's a light, you know, even the Havdol of Havdol's in the Gaisha world, A significance, well, you know, when someone has a good idea, they have like a light bulb over their head. Lahabdil, el v'halfei milyone giga habdalis. Chachma is like the ability of a person to see clearly was created. Hashem, when he created us, he gave us a chance. He put us in a place that's misleading. It's dark. And Kadosh Baruch Hu, at the same time, he put us in a place that's misleading and it's treacherous. It's a treacherous world. And we can't see clearly. And we don't know whether going to the right or going to the left. We don't know. We don't know. It's almost like the lady and the tiger. Are you educated? You ever hear the story of the lady and the tiger? For the uneducated, it goes something like this. The uneducated. There was someone that was captured by a fiend. A dastardly fiend. Sounds familiar? Yeah. A dastardly fiend. And he captured him. He deprived him of his liberty. And he brought him to a chamber. So in the chamber there's two doors. That's the only way out. You gotta take one of the doors. He told him behind one door is a lady. If you open that door, you get the lady. And all that represents, and we don't have to describe the lady, this is a mukham kaddish here, but he'll get the lady. And all, you know, the full meaning of what that means, he'll get the lady. Behind the other door is a tiger. If he opens the other door, he's going to get ripped to shreds. Okay, 50-50. Sounds simple. To complicate matters, the dastardly fiend also kidnapped the guy's wife. And she's standing there in the chamber while he's choosing. And he's trying to read her. Because she knows behind which door is the lady and which door is the tiger. Dilemma. If he opens up the door to the tiger, her husband will get ripped to shreds. If he opens up the door to the lady, he does with the lady. Things that she wouldn't want her husband to do with the lady. He's trying to read her expressions and the look in her eye when he's going towards one door and towards the other door. Dilemma. It's a very accurate description of this world. We have choices. The choices aren't clear. And then we have signposts, you know, we have the hints. But they're misleading. It's just like, yeah. So Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us a chance. It's not fair, right? That's the world. It's not fair. He gave us a chance. And he created Or, an Or is from the Makom HaMikdash. And the Medrash brings a pasuk in Sefer Yirmiyah that Mamash says, "Kisi kavod maray merishen makom mikdashenu." That the makom mikdash is the source of Or. So he defines what's Or. So he defines Or by going into the Arba Yesodos. That's why we're talking about the Arba Yesodos. So in order to understand light, we go away from light. There's light, and then there's the four yesodos, the four primordial matters, primordial mass, primordial yesodos, primordial something. There's Eish, Mayim, Ruach, and Afar. He says that each one has each one it has a physical component, because Afar is physical, and Mayim is physical, and Ruach is physical, and Esh is physical. It's physical. They can be detected by the senses. Anything that can be detected by the senses is physical. I mean, you can't see Ruach, but you could sense it. He says that all the four Yesodos, when you see four Yesodos, that means there's nothing in creation that's not made up of a combination of these four Yesodos. All four of them, they're present in every single aspect of creation. You could have the driest rock, like a fossilized rock in the desert, and in a very physical, down-to-earth sense, it has to have the Yesod HaMayim to it. As dry as it is, as dry as it seems. So the Yesod of Ofer is dominant. It's got a dominant Ofer gene in it. The Yesod of Ofer is dominant. You know. Yesod of Ofer. Yes. But there has to be... What happens if you take a rock and you extract all the moisture from the rock? You have a process that you extract all the moisture from the rock, that there's no moisture remaining. What's going to be with that rock? What? It will crumble. Because there's no chibur without water. You try and build a sandcastle in a sandbox without water. Put the sand in your bucket. Turn the bucket upside down. Remove the bucket. And you have a tower. No, you don't. It falls back down to the ground. So as you say to Mayim, in a row, so let's say rock is you say to offer. You say to Mayim an offer. And all these sages work like that. Rachman al Tzlan, if somebody is, stuck in a frigid wasteland, and doesn't know when he's going to be rescued, and all he has is his faithful Alaskan husky. It's getting cold. His core temperature is going down and down and down. So what does he do? He lies down together with the husky, and they wrap some, wrap so that he... What did you think of?
And then, so that,
No, you have to... I mean, that might appeal to you.
It's warm and cozy in there.
But you want to gain the warmth from his body heat.
Right.
There's such a thing called body heat. Just scratch that out.
Thanks.
It's body heat. If someone has a fever, so then the heat goes up, the flame goes higher. So as you say to Aish inside of people. As you say to Aish, there's a fire burning inside of a person. Where is it? What? Who does it come from? Who knows? Well, we'll let the biologists figure it out. So let me show you, does he say Aish inside of people? Does he offer inside of a person? Does he mime inside of a person? I mean, they say that the human beings are like 92% water or something like that. That's, if you would extract all the water from the human being, you'd have 8% left. There's Mayim, there's Aish, and then there's Ruach. Because you move from one place to the next, or you breathe. I mean, that Pashup Shah. Rabbi Yesodos.
Everything is all
Aish?
Four?
Everything is all four.
Body.
Everything is all four. There's nothing in creation that's missing one of the Yesodos. Everything is all four.
When were the Arba Yesodos created?
Hashem created his name, Yudke Vavke. Okay. And then there's a process. From the letters of Hashem's name, each one of them produced one of the Arba Yesodos.
So they've been here through the whole...
Before creation.
Hashem's name pre-existed creation?
Yes.
I thought it was just a representation in this world of a
Hashem Yudke Vavke had to pre-exist before creation, because that's the Shem Hashem used to create the world. You could refer to it as God's name. You could refer to it as Yudke Vavke, You could also refer to it as the Sherish of the Yusaitis. Yeah, before God created dirt, He created the mother of dirt. Where dirt gonna come from? Creation didn't happen in one shot. God did not just say, let there be dirt, and then there was.
What's the ish? The body, the heart?
Yes. Fire. Ish could also be a midah. I'm saying this could be a, you know, if someone is very tends to burn others, he has a nature of burning, he burns. Anyone who gets close to him gets burnt. So that's because he has, right, well, he burns everyone up. Let's say you have someone that is fire, you bring a shekel tire to him, and he will destroy it. Remember, I have a friend, he's a rabbi, he's not a rabbi in TJ. But he has a reputation. This is the whole, the yeshiva knows. You go to his house for a meal, you have to say it by Torah. And that's pretty common. But no matter what it is, no matter how much you work on it, no matter how smart you think it is, he will destroy it.
Sounds like dirt to me.
He has like 10 or 15 guys per meal. And each guy, it's like a competition or a contest, a challenge to try and come up with a divine Torah that he doesn't destroy. They'd come to my house after going to him, they'd might be crying. He said, he almost liked it, you know? And in my house, you say whatever you want. I don't really care. I'm not listening half the time anyway. But he's like, he has Yisad Eish. He's not doing it to hurt people. You tell me something that there's a mixture of good and, you know, it's a mixture. There's something of value in it, but there's also something in there that's clogging things up, that's not of value, that's not worth, has no value, so you have to burn it off. So in Midas you have the Yisaitis. The Vart that the Maral is saying is that even though these are four Yisaitis and they're all physical, but they have properties that are similar to the things that exist in the spirit world, in the Neshama world. It says the more physical something is, then the less similarities there are between that particular yisaid and the spiritual world. So he talks about dirt. Dirt is extreme, it's called extreme physical. You know, extreme sports, extreme hiking. Dirt is extreme gashmius. I have a camp called Extreme Dirt. Extreme Dirt. And it's almost undetectable. You know, there are spiritual properties to dirt. But it's not detectable. It sits there. It does nothing. It doesn't have any properties. It doesn't do anything. It doesn't go anywhere. It just sits. It reminds us of some people that sit and don't do anything. So it's not similar to spirituality, because spirituality is that you have a purpose and accomplish. Spirituality, like angels, never stop. The moment an angel stops doing his job, what happens to him? What happens to an angel? He finishes his job. He ceases to exist. There's no home of retired. There's no home for retired angels or something like that. You know, it's covered by Obamacare. They don't have a home for retired angels, and they don't rest up in between the jobs or the tasks that they rejuvenate themselves. They cease to exist. An angel exists to accomplish. When it's accomplishing, it exists. When it ceases to accomplish, it doesn't exist. So that's spirituality. Spirituality is purpose. It's a sense of purpose. It's something, you know, dirt does nothing. So even though there is something, there is a spiritual component to dirt, it's just very, very buried underground, pun intended. It's underground.
Are these connected from coming to my family?
In a way. Yes. Yes. Diamond is America. I'm a dabber. Diamond is dirt. He said, so dirt is very dark. You have a light. There's a dust storm today. I don't know if you noticed. When there's a dust storm, it can get dark in the middle of the day. Because the teva of dirt is to block light. So where else did you have these two things? On the one, you have the teva of dirt, is it's non-productive, it doesn't do anything, and it's very not like anything spiritual. And then the properties of dirt is it blocks light. The two go hand in hand. Because the more physical something is, when I use the word physical, I mean that it lacks similarity to spirituality. The more physical something is, so then the less it's going to connect with light. Afterwards is water. The water is has physical component to water. And when it lands on you, it's wet. It's very wet. So it's physical. But it tends to, you know, if you compare water to dirt, water is a lot more like spiritual than dirt, because at least water goes from one place to the next. It could flow. There's water that bubbles up from the ground. That's amazing. What makes it come out? It's in the ground. Stay there. I'm saying water, you know, that's a very spiritual medium. I'm saying this is a wellspring is a muscle. It's a perfect example to the spiritual component in water. That it actually is not satisfied where it is. It's not dormant. And it has the need to burst out. I mean, it's not a conscious decision that the water makes. It's a nature that God puts into water. That it has a chakra. It has a connection to spirituality. And it has a connection that dirt doesn't have. And water is transparent. Although not the water that I saw on Sunday. On Sunday I went with my wife to Park Yarkon, and the Yarkon River is there. And that river is very much Ufer. Green Ufer. Oh. It's the kind of river you can walk across without getting wet. It's stark. But that's not the average water. The average water is transparent. You put a light, you shine a light through water. It goes right through. It's not the same as air. There's going to be some distortion of the light. But water, the teva of water is more like spirituality. And the property of water is like spirituality. It's closer to light. You get to Ruach. So Ruach, it's I don't know, it's very hard to find the physical component in Ruach. Ruach, it's like, you know, whenever we want to refer to the soul, we refer to the soul like a Ruach. A wind is physical, it's just the physicality is hidden. It's 100% physical. So we're talking about what something is and what it's like. What it is, it's 100% physical. And wind is just as physical as dirt. It's not any less. But the properties of wind, Hashem invested in wind the properties to make it similar to something spiritual. but it's physical. And wind, you could see straight through. You can't see wind. And then you have Aish. Aish is the type of Aish is to destroy Gashmias. You know that. You can't get anything. You can't get further from Gashmi than something that its nature is. That when it comes in contact with Gashmi, the Gashmi ceases to exist. So Aish is, you know, Aish is extreme. It's on the other extreme. Because that's what Aish does. In fact, that's all that Aish does. What does Aish do? It takes, oh, well, yes, it also rises. Yes. Aish will rise. Aish goes up. You light a match. You want to light your pipe with the match. So you have to suck the pipe in so that the flame will go down. The minute you stop sucking, the flame goes up again. You can go up and down. Depending on how good you are, it goes up and down, and up and down, and up and down, and up and down. That's the opposite. That was a good marshal. A good Natal. Very good. That's the opposite of anything that's Gashmi. Anything that's Gashmi is that when you suck it in, it falls down normally. You don't even have to suck. It just falls down. If you want it to go up, you have to blow out the pipe. You try and light your... Try and light your pipe with a... I don't know. What?
A cup of dirt.
With a pinch of dirt or something, yeah. Or with a pencil sharpener, you know. It goes down without you sucking in. You try and get the thing. You got to blow really hard for it to go up. The flame goes up. You can't light your pipe unless you suck in. It won't work. The flame goes up. I don't know if you have a torch lighter. So that can cause the flame to go down because mixed in with the ash is also ruach. That's what the torch lighters are. Because the ruach could make something go against, you know, go in a direction, in an opposite direction. Ruach could push something down. So you have a torch lighter, you can light your pipe with the torch lighter because the Seder Ruach combines with the Seder Eish and makes the flame go down. And then you have Or. Or is not one of the four. Or is not physical. Or is Ruchnius. There's a Mashal Maseches Chulin. He talks about animals, birds, and fish. Shechita by an animal, what do you have to cut? You know, what do you have to cut when you want to shecht an animal? What has to be cut?
Two simbesis.
Yoni said two simanim. There's the kana and the veshet, known as the windpipe and the food pipe. In order for the animal to be kosher, both of those things have to be cut. And one maisha shechita. The windpipe and the food pipe. Or the gullet. One of the simanim is cut and it dies. The animal is a treif, a nevela. It's a nevela. You have a chicken. How do you shech the chicken? What do you have to do to a chicken for it to be kosher?
Same idea.
You say just the food pipe, you say both. And you'd both be wrong. By a bird, a kosher bird, you only need one of the two simana. It could be either one. Hmm. It could be the windpipe or the food pipe. One simana. If you want to eat a fish, What do you have to do to the fish in order to eat the fish?
Bite it and chew it.
Yes.
Love death in that way.
So Masha says.
No, I remember the from the fish.
No. You need a sifa. You gather it. It's a pasta. These are all. It's all learned out from Sukkim. Yeah, a sifa. You gather it, and you can eat it. What, now you're going to enter a goldfish contest now? See how many goldfish you could eat?
Yes, that's good.
Why don't you see how many elans could fit into a glove compartment first?
I don't get that.
No, I'm just, you know, how many... So the Masha explains... I'm saying, but you have the tools to explain this yourself now. The Masha explains... that the Iker Yisayid of a Behema is Afar. And the function of Shkita is to take something which is on a very low level of Ruchnias and do a mitzvah to it. Because by doing a mitzvah to it, you're connecting something very low to something very high. So Shkita is elevating the animal. And when we eat it, we're not just eating something physical, we're eating something physical that became roi for us through a mitzvah, which mitzvahs originate in the spiritual world. And then when we eat the animal affects, it affects us. Eating an animal that's shechted gives us a connection to a mitzvah. When we eat, you know, when you eat the piece of meat in the chalent, so then you're eating a mitzvah. You're eating something that became fit for you to eat because of a mitzvah. And you're actually eating it. It's becoming a part of you. So you took something low and you brought it up very high. The Iker Yisayid in a fish. What's the Iker Yisayid in a fish? Of the four Yisayids, which one's the dominant Yisayid of a fish?
Water.
You know how long it takes a fish to disappear after it dies? We just lost a Mali. She died. If they die on Shabbos, then I can't get them out. But after Shabbos, there was no remains. There was nothing.
What?
Like, there was nothing there.
Did they eat it?
They ate it, or she just falls apart.
What?
They're water.
It's crazy.
They're water. They're making water. They're water that's held together by a thin layer of gashmias. They're water.
There's so much protein.
Now, water... of the Abyssinus, water, it has a very strong similarity to Ruchnius. So it doesn't need to be brought up with a mitzvah. You don't have to shaft it.
So why do chickens when you want some, they're not similar to Afar, they're in
between? Birds. What's the Iker Yisayid of a bird? So the Masha brings a Medrash. The birds, so fish were created from water. Iker Yisayid is water. And cows, and buffaloes, and yaks, the Iker Yisayid is dirt. Birds were created from the marsh. What's a marsh?
Agam.
An agam, yes.
Marsh. Dirt and water.
Right, it's not dirt. Because it's very, you know, you won't, it's a very unfriendly place to be. It's very wet. It's wet, it's treacherous. There's bogs, quicksands, scary, scary monsters. On the other hand, it's not water. It's muddy, it's icky, but it's not water. Hashem created the marsh, and then after Hashem created the marsh, Hashem created birds from the marsh. So they are both Yisaitis. So one Yisayid in birds is a very high Yisayid. It's Yisayid in Mayim, which doesn't need a Shkita. The other Yisayid of birds is Afar, which is a low Yisayid, which doesn't need Shkita. So you only have to check one in a Simanim. Amazing. That's amazing.
What the opposite is? Kachulah.
Is there any animal that's... made out of fire?
Yes.
it's supposed to turn out.
Thank you for asking me where it was. I haven't seen this Masha.
Yudzayin?
Yes, in over 35 years.
How do you remember?
I'll take half that time.
Well, I didn't remember. I don't know. Listen, if I remembered all the things that I should remember, I'd be a big person.
It's a scary thought for me, Rabbi.
You're still young.
Start remembering now.
You can still finish Shas by the age of 21. I can't do that anymore.
How much am I going to have to be learning for that?
27 by the day.
When's your birthday?
Like 11 months.
Yeah, 27.
You want to get cracking, boy.
No, what are you talking about? I'm just joking.
Dagen Basifa Biyamasadi. Our Aisha never met her a kick. A bird is created from the marsh. The Semenachad. All you need to do is shack one of the Simanim, either the windpipe or the food type pipe. Shukar of Lamin Behema. Ulaminai, Shalam Kotavasim of Bidavar Echad Shalheta. The Neslam Basatai of the Midba. Pokavit sign. Here's my arm, is it? It's my baramas. He speaks that Eif should never make a kick with Simonachot. Then he speaks out with Beresh. When the bird's created from the marsh, it's one Simon. Amazing. Mela, he's using this, he's talking about Eish and Ruach and Mayim and Afar. But he's just using that as a vehicle to show you that the further away you get from Ruchnius and the closer you get to Gashmius, the darker it gets. And the reason why he's talking is because Or, pure light, pure Or, real Or, is not Gashmi at all. Or means understanding. Or means wisdom. Or means clarity of sight. These are not Gashmi-stick of things. These are concepts. Could you touch a thought? Could you embrace a thought? You could. But could you feel a thought? Could you follow? You could follow a thought. You could embrace a thought. Be warmed by a thought, but these are just expressions. You can't really do any of that. So when you say that Hashem created Or from the place of the Beis HaMikdash, so then you're saying that the place of the Beis HaMikdash is not Gashmius, like the rest of the world is Gashmius. This is the conclusion, and we'll stop here. But that's, you know, the conclusion of what we've been learning the last few weeks is that when the Medrash says that Hashem created light, or from the Makom of the Beis HaMikdash, so what that means is the Makom of the Beis HaMikdash is not Gashmius. And light is not Gashmi. So Hashem created something in this world called the Makom Beis HaMikdash. It's a presence in the world. Hashem created light, which is also a presence in this world. Understanding something, seeing something for what it is this world. It's not Gashmi, but it's in this world. There's things in this world that are not Gashmi. A thought enters this world. It's not Gashmi, but a thought enters this world. And the things that we think about, you know, no matter what they are, people on big levels, are Gashmi stick of things. But the power of thinking is not a Gashmi stick of thing. So Ruchni stick of things could be a presence in this world. And the place of the Beis HaMikdash is a Ruchni stick of thing. It's not. There's so much to be said about the Makom Beis HaMikdash, which Amisha will leave. We'll leave for later. But the Makom Beis HaMikdash is the side of what's going on now, what we're seeing now, is a Mohamma for the non-physical part of the world. Let's not fool ourselves. And, you know, it's not about politics. It's not about any of the agendas. None of the players are going to admit that this is true. It's the only way of understanding things. The Makom HaMikdash is the source of light in this world. If someone controls the Makom HaMikdash, if someone controls the Makom HaMikdash, so then in a certain bechina, the light of the world is going to come to the world through the ones that control the Makom. If Klal Yisrael controls the Makom HaMikdash, so then the way the world understands things is the way Klal Yisrael understands it. When I say Klal Yisrael, I'm talking about Klal Yisrael on the level, the Madrega, the Tzadikim, Gaonim, Neviim, Tamid Chachamim, Kimalachim. When Klal Yisrael is a shlita on the Makom HaMikdash, so then the Makom HaMikdash, its mayor, the world is filled with the wisdom the way Klal Yisrael is supposed to see things. If Rachmana Litzlan, the Makom HaMikdash is controlled by those that cloud the Emes, to distort the Emes, so what kind, you know, the Emes doesn't get... The Emes is in Gullus. They don't want the Emes to be revealed. We need a Rachma Shemayim. We're being forced, every week, we're being forced into a tighter corner. Rosh Hashanah to Yeshua and the Hamas. And the end of all this, it's unavoidable. The end of it could come with more pain or less pain, but the end of all this is that the R is going to be in his gala.
What's not that is the first time in history that they're saying that Torah is not valid in terms of like there's no bit there was no bit.
Let's see if he's still there.
It's never happened before.
Yoni, Yoni, sir.
What?